Minnesota Native News brought us a wonderful story a while back. It wasn't as in-depth as I wanted to hear more, but it gave me the idea to contact Michael Muirs and ask him to be a guest on Minnesota Reads and talk about his book called Road to Ponema, The Teachings of Larry Stilday. We're really happy to have Michael Muirs on the phone with us this morning. Hey, Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
I really enjoyed just the snippet that I was able to hear of you talking about this book. And I thought, wow, I really need to find out more about this Larry Stilday. Who is Larry Stilday? You wrote a whole book about him. You can't encapsulate him just briefly. But can you give us a little bit of identification of this pretty special guy?
Larry, who passed here about 2.5 years ago, May of 2014, was a spiritual leader, cultural leader, medicine person, if you will. He was a teacher, and he welcomed all callers of the medicine wheel to his teaching lodges. And he taught that all callers of the medicine wheel needed to look at I'm having trouble here talking because it's the worldview of the Ojibwe is pretty much what he taught, and it's very timely with what's going on in today's world.
Larry was, you had mentioned that when we talked just a moment ago. You said that the kinds of teachings and the kinds of things that he was talking about, you said prophet is too strong a word, but that the sorts of things that he was talking about are very relevant to what is going on here. And when you talk about all colors of the medicine wheel being included, all people being included, that's something that a lot of people feel right now like they're not being included in the national discussion.
Well, I saw a cartoon once. It was a bear sitting at a picnic table, and he said, you know, I've eaten white people and black people and gays and old people and young, they all taste like chicken. And I think that was Larry's point. I think what the world today, or when we here in the United States just kind of took over the country, you know, took over the continent, and we did not assimilate with the people that are here. And Larry is pointing out to us all what we would have learned if we would have assimilated with the people who lived here. The worldview, the fact that we are all life is sacred, and that if land is related to nature and nature to God, then this land is sacred. And we've forgotten about these kinds of things. We've just left that out in the just are ignoring it. I apologize for being so inarticulate, but this is kind of early in the morning for me.
It is kind of early in the morning, but I can also hear, Michael, I can also hear how much you know about Larry, and I can hear your admiration for the man and his teachings. And sometimes, you know, I can hear how there's so much that you want to communicate about him. You told me also that Ponema itself is really kind of a miraculous, magical place. When we have talked a lot on this program about historical trauma, and we've talked about the effects of the boarding school, and we've talked about, we've tried to touch on the effects of, you know, what happens to people when they lose their culture, when they lose their language, Ponema somehow managed to escape much of that. Tell us a little bit about that community itself.
Well, I don't know if they escaped much of that. I think that all American Indians experience that. You can't escape that. But because of Ponema being a unique place, Red Lake is pretty, the Red Lake Reservation is pretty isolated. As a matter of fact, it's a unique, that place is unique in the sense that the land was never ceded to the United States. All the rest of the land in the country, except one exception, was ceded to the United States, and then the United States gave it back to the Indians. But Red Lake was never ceded. They had 7 foresightful chiefs there when they tried to allot all the reservations, which was a way to, you know, get rid of the Indians as tribal people. So Red Lake was never ceded, and because of that and its relative isolation, culture and language survived like perhaps nowhere else outside the Southwest. Panema is even more isolated because if you can envision the Red Lakes as two lungs, two huge lakes, the largest freshwater lake in wholly contained in one state, the 6th largest after the Great Lakes. It's out in this big, long peninsula between the two lakes. It's out on the end. And you couldn't even, there was just a path to Panema. You had to go by boat or walk up until the 1940s. So the language and culture, Christian churches never survived there. So it's unique and so the culture and language and the worldview or the spirituality of the Ojibwe people still survives in that place.
You said that there are actually more Ojibwe speakers in Panema than maybe in the rest of the United States?
There are more Ojibwe speakers on the Red Lake Reservation, according to professor of Ojibwe at Bemidji State University, Anton Troyer. More at Red Lake than all the rest of the United States combined. Now, there's an awful lot of fluent speakers, first speakers in Canada, but not so in the United States. And most of them are from Red Lake and Panema.
If people were troubled by the way that the country is going and the things that they see in the country, and there is among, you know, some people, there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of uncertainty and a lot of unhappiness, would you recommend that they pick up this book? Would you say that they could find things that might comfort them, guide them in this book?
I think that we need to assimilate a little bit more with the culture of the land, which is American Indian. Out in Seattle, whatever their equivalent to the DNR is they're working with indigenous peoples about how to take care of the land and the sea. They've got thousands and thousands of years of experience of working with the land, and we've got at best 500, 200. That's Bemidji was founded in the late 1890s, and Bemidji has gone around thinking that history began in 1895, and Minnesota thinks that history began in 1858, and the United States thinks that history began in 1776, and 1640, and 1492 before that. But people were living here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And there is a culture in this land. If you and I were to move to France tomorrow, within a week we'd be wearing berets, eating in sidewalk cafes, and speaking French. But we didn't do that here. We got pretty arrogant. Pretty arrogant to think that history began with our arrival. And that's my view, anyway.
And
I'm not an Indian, by the way. I'm a non-Indian who's worked with the Red Lake Band in a public relations capacity for over 20 years, and that's how I came into contact with this Larry Stilday. And when I heard him speak, he was just so poetic, Chief Seattle-ish, if you will, in the way that he talked. It just kind of grabbed me, and I started writing down everything that he said, and I wound up with this 220-page book about his words and teachings.
When you see what's going on in Standing Rock,
yes,
I'm guessing that Larry's teachings are really resonating with you at that point.
You know, I'd love to send a dozen books out there if I knew where to send them, because I really do think that they'd find some encouragement in his words.
Michael, thank you so much for sharing some insight and sharing this book and the words of your friend Larry Stilday with us this morning. It was wonderful to talk with you. Thanks again so very much.
Well, thank you, Lisa. And if you ever do a show in the afternoon when I'm awake, please call on me.
I certainly shall, Michael.
Thank you so much. All righty. Bye-bye.
Michael Muirs this morning, our guest on Minnesota Reads. His book is called Road to Ponema, The Teachings of Larry Stilday. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.